Sydney's suburb of Redfern has suffered in recent years from a very tarnished image. Drugs, poverty and violence are some of the issues that many have associated the area with. The New South Wales Minister for Redfern-Waterloo, Frank Sartor, decided to put an end to this problem. His solution will see a large-scale commercial redevelopment of the area. However, this move will also limit Aboriginal development of their privately owned land, the Block. Sartor's controversial plan even triggered 2GB's shock jock Alan Jones to speak out against the government's plans.
Listening is not something Frank Sartor's good at. It's Frank's way or the highway, because he's now announced that the Block in Redfern will be rezoned for commercial use. This land was given to the Aboriginal community by the Whitlam government in the 1970s. You know where it is, and it's been plagued by riots and heroin dealing since the mid-1990s.
The Tour of Beauty is a bus trip that goes around Redfern and its surrounding suburbs, organised by a group of local artists called Squat Space. They organise groups of people to tour the area, meet with different community representatives, and see for themselves what the area is all about.
You know everybody, everybody knows everybody here, or you have to introduce yourself to everybody?
Everybody should know everybody here. That's a really good point, thank you. What was your name again?
Hosro. Where's your name? Hosro.
Okay, Hosro is our driver today. two hands on the wheel, Hosro. Or at least one. I'm Mickey Quick from Squat Space. Up the front here is Lucasoid. One behind is Sister Joan.
Our first stop on the four-hour trip was the settlement in Darlington. It is the oldest community centre in Sydney, dating back to the beginning of the century. In the beginning, when it was first established, the settlement was made up of poor Irish Catholic residents. But in the 90s, its focus changed to accommodate the needs of Aboriginal residents. Lynn Turnbull at the settlement.
The settlement's open for anyone who wants to become a member, as long as you agree with the aims and philosophies of the group. And these guys saw that if they came in, they could stack the membership of the organisation, and over a couple of years, they gained control of the management committee. And so they had got to the stage where they were planning to sell all of the land that we owned to a developer so that, you know, they could get people out of their street and their property values would go up.
Geoffrey Turnbull, Lynn's husband, who's also involved in the local political group Red Watch, waited for us outside Redfern train station.
Here comes Geoffrey wearing his swan's jumper.
Red Watch was established to monitor government involvement in Redfern-Waterloo. Turnbull and his organisation reject the Redfern-Waterloo Authority's ambitious plans to erect commercial high-rise buildings and claim that the authority's aims clash head-on with residents' concerns.
Over many, many years, people have researched the problems of Redfern-Waterloo. Everybody knows what the problems are. What we have to do is come and provide solutions. The difficulty is that you also need to reality test the solutions that they come up with to make sure that they actually make sense on the ground. Otherwise, you end up with government departments working out what they think should happen, but it doesn't relate to what's actually happening on the ground.
Well, we're mine and we're proud to say what we got in ourselves. We've been hiding in the background far too long.
With my sister beside me, I am strong.
Our bus driver then took us to the house of Aboriginal leader Jenny Munro. Joining her were some of the most influential founders of the Canberra Tent Embassy. They were all sitting around her dinner table, sipping tea and nibbling on an apple strudel. One of them, Isabel Coe, has been involved with the Tent Embassy for the past 34 years and says that she will continue to do so for as long as she is needed. She's been active in promoting Aboriginal rights right around Australia, but also worried about the state of the Aboriginal community in Redfern-Waterloo.
I'm a bit concerned about what's happening on the block at the moment. We've got a fight on there with the junkies. They all come from there, from all over Sydney. They come there and they use up. And there's nowhere else for them to go. There's nothing for them. You know, like they're there and they die there.
Lyle Monroe, also one of the Tent Embassy founders, says that the lack of consultation with the Indigenous community has had the effect of steamrolling any opposition to Sartor's plans.
None of us have been ever invited, for instance, to the State Drug Summit, the State Alcohol Summit, to the State Pedophile Fucking Summit, you know, to the summit of the inquiry on TJ's death, right? This gave Sartor the power to do what he was doing.
That you can be sure, the time has come for you to come out from behind that door. Open your mind.
With my sister beside me, I am strong. I am strong.
Sartor's office told The Wire that the Redfern-Waterloo Authority has set up a number of committees to discuss their proposed changes, in which community representatives and local Aboriginal leaders were invited to speak up. His office claims that the proposed changes were designed to create more jobs in the area, but critics claim the new jobs will be filled with skilled workers from outside of the community. Back in Redfern, the tour has wrapped up for the night and a few more Sydney siders have had their preconceptions about Redfern challenged. But it remains to be seen how Sartor's redevelopment plans will change the nature of Redfern-Waterloo.